So great. Thanks. Thanks for being on today. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to hit hard the GoPro book for the second half of it. Last week we covered a lot in GoPro and it was exciting and dynamic. And thanks all you guys for being present. I'm, like I said, enjoying this book more than anything. When any other book that I've read about network marketing, it really hits home to me and gives, you know, all the necessary kind of foundational concepts and ideas and tools to help you get your business off the ground. So it's a great book for, in fact, for me and my organization. I think I've mentioned to everybody, it's the first book. And when we do Book of the Month Club for newbies, this is always going to be book number one because the newbies are going to be given different sets of books than the people that have been in Manitech a long time. Although I suggest, because some of you don't have this training, that even if you've been in Manitech 5, 10, 15 years, you want to get a hold of this book and adopt it, internalize it, and teach from it. So let's jump in. The skill sets, we went through the first two skills last week, which was finding prospects, and the second skill being inviting prospects to understand your product or opportunity. So our third skill set that we're going to kick off with today is presenting your products or opportunity to your prospects. And when we get involved with that, that's about presentation styles. And some people present, some people don't. I remember somebody in my organization telling me, Mary Jo, I'll never get in front of a group. And you know what? She never had. And that's and she got all the way to presidential. I tend to tell people if they want to really be effective at this business, it's important to develop some savvy and expertise around how to do a presentation. But can presentations be done other than in front of a big group? Of course. Some of the presentations we're doing are just sending videos out to people, letting them watch other people do presentations. That is a technique to get a presentation done, but it's not what we're talking about when we talk about our skill set here, because this is truly you stepping in and being the presenter. What kind of skill sets is that required? So whether you're presenting a one-on-one or a group meeting or a home party or you are doing an event at Manitech headquarters or anything larger than that, you always want to step in and be professional. You want to look professional because that's what's going to attract people to want to be a part of your organization if you come across professional. So don't slide on those things. Make sure that you're looking. Everything else, your whole presentation is there. One of the concepts he brought up right out of the box was making sure that you don't take on all the emphasis of you being the issue. So it's not about let me tell you about the products, the comp line, and the mission. If you become the person that has all the information, you're going to create phenomenal problems in terms of going forward in your business. Now, some of you can raise your hand and say right away, wow, that's evident in my organization. I can see how I have been doing that, especially those of us involved with the product side. If you got as heavily entrenched in the science as I did, where I could talk to people about the endoplasmic reticulum and the Golgi apparatus, that's really great. It might be great from a perspective of getting somebody started on the products who is sick, but remember, if you're just out there signing up people who are sick, you're never going to grow a business. We're talking about building a business, becoming a professional network marketer. So that means we're building a business. So it's not about us just getting people in consumption. It's about how do we attract people to be in our business with us. So if you are the one that has all the information and you can't wait to show that off because you think that's how people are going to be attracted to you or that's why people are going to have respect for you, I want you to stop dead in the water and change your ways. Some of the big problems that you're going to come up against trying to build a big organization, if you are the issue, is that there's always going to be certain things you don't know, and then people will lose confidence in you because you put yourself out there to be the know-it-all. Secondly, you become totally non-duplicatable, and that's critical for your organization. If people look at you and they might admire you with all the knowledge that you've accrued over the last 10 years in glycobiology and glyconutrient technology, but they're right away saying to themselves that you're not hearing in their head, I'll never have that much information. I'll never be able to do what she does. Now you lose them. And trust me, I've been there, done that so many times, it's not even funny. So it's time to stop, right? And most of your friends, especially when you sign up brand new people, most of their friends are going to look at them and say, you're not an expert. So how can you talk about these things? And you're trying to make somebody into an expert who's not an expert. So we call that fraud or misrepresentation. So you want to stay away from that. You want to act as a consultant, getting people what? The tools and materials and other people to help answer their questions. So let the tools do the talking. Let the materials do the talking. And the great quote out of the book, which I put up on my desk and I put up on my wall in my office, is, in network marketing, it doesn't matter what works. It matters what is duplicatable. And that is absolutely true. When you go out and you talk to the pros, the Eric Worre's of the world and all the people he knows and all the other multimillionaires in network marketing, they're going to tell you. They use tools, events, and other distributors. They do not walk in this light of being the expert. They're an expert on the business doing network marketing, but they're never going to be the expert about the products. They're not going to be the expert about all these. They're not going to put themselves out as, I've spent 10 years, you knowing all this stuff, and I'm going to now share it with you, right? So get that clear. And I've been really harping that on my people, making sure to send tools out and attach things to their emails and present people with DVDs and tools that they can learn from versus being the teller. The other thing is that, he even said in his book, remember I told my story about my gal who got the presidential without standing in front of people? Well, she's no longer qualifies as presidential, and she hasn't for the last 6-7 years. But it really is true in terms of Eric Worre's ideas, is that people who need to learn how to stand in front of people, we don't need to know how to present ourselves, and those are the people that make the most money. And learning how to tell our story is critical as well. Everybody has a story, and you need to learn how to tell that story. Why? Because you spend a lot of time telling your story. Instead of telling people about being an expert and knowing all about the products and the business and everything, learn how to tell your story. It becomes extremely invaluable in building your business because people are interested in your story as long as you don't do what? You don't bore them to death with it. And that's another problem. People talk endlessly on all their story, go on and on and on. I'm going to give you Eric Worre's story because he actually gave it to us in the book. It's a few sentences long, and it's a slam dunk. He used it all the time. And again, there's going to be certain circumstances where it didn't fit, but here's what Eric Worre developed as his story. One of the most important things you do is develop your story. Hi, my name's Eric Worre, and I'm a retired underachiever. I had 18 jobs by the age of 23 and was starting to think my future wasn't looking so good. I was embarrassed by my lack of results, and I was desperately looking for a way to make something of my life. In January of 1988, I was introduced to network marketing, and it has changed my life. Instead of being afraid of the future, now I'm excited about it. That was it. There it is. See how that little short story can have a big impact on people. And why does it have a big impact on people? Because other people hear it and they say, golly, that sounds just like me. They can relate to it. It's something about happening in their life that it isn't theirs. How many people are embarrassed by their lack of results? So you want to be open, honest, and talk about your story, right? And the theme of his story, what is the theme of his story? The theme of Eric's story is, if I could do it, anyone could do it. So remember that as a key to it. You want to make sure you're humble and you come across as that person instead of telling them all the 100 reasons you had the perfect traits to be a perfect network marketer. I love it sometimes when people ask me about my background in law, and they go, geez, Mary Jo, with all that legal background, this was easy for you. And I said, furthest from the truth. In fact, it's hard to come from somebody who's a know-it-all or has that much education and background because they think they know it all, and then they don't step into learning and surrender to learn what they need to learn to be great at this business. My 6 months were a disaster. So truly, if I could do it, anybody could do it. I'm the same way, as I failed miserably for 6 months. But the idea is to get your story down to make it sound very duplicatable and very, something that other people can tie into and relate to. But build that story. He even tells us in the book how to build a good story. He says, there are 4 parts to a good story. Your background, the things you didn't like about your background, how network marketing came to your rescue, your results, how you feel about your future. Those are the 4 things you want to make sure are in your story. So if you leave this call with nothing else today, develop your story and get ready to tell it to lots of people, right? Business presentation. What's important is, you really want to be able to make a great business presentation because people are following you in the business. They want to have a sense of being successful with you. So you want to make sure that you can get it down so you can talk about it in your sleep. And the one we just put out there a couple weeks ago, the Choose Your Lifestyle, there's scripting out there available. I don't know if Manatech's posted it yet, but I put together scripting on it. I'd suggest people just get down and memorize it, you know. Make sure that you have it down pat in your sleep. You know how to talk about those things because they're all happening around us every day. It's wonderful to talk about the new economy. It's exciting to because you sound educated and like you care, like you're on top of the newest things happening in the world. So be relevant, be on top of that, and you'll be very successful with it. And one of the factors, he said, is when you build a business presentation, always use one from a very successful associate. So that Choose Your Lifestyle one is the one you want to pick and use today. The next phase is to become a great trainer. And again, you're going to look at people that you consider are great trainers and try to duplicate them. Learn how they got into their training. Watch what they do. Look at the organization they put together, the skill structure they have, all of that, and duplicate that process. Because being a great trainer is critically important in this business, right? It's because, again, that's another level of presenting. Are you going to help people learn things? Otherwise, the people in your organization are not going to move forward like you'd want them to. All right, that's the end of skill three, presenting your product or business opportunity, which also incorporates being a great trainer. Skill four that he discusses in the book, I hope they can't hear me, the hammering. Okay, Lydia's telling me you can't hear the hammering because we've got construction going on around us, which is not very pleasant for me to be talking, but I'll try to not allow it to be a distraction. Okay, it's a skill four, following up with your prospects. So that's our fourth skill that we're going to talk about. And we always hear from people the fortune is in the follow-up, and that's absolutely true. That's where the fortune exists. We want to make sure that we're following up with people. And the funny thing that I've noticed in life is that, you know, it's always shocking me as people say they don't like the follow-up. And it always blows me away because I said, you do all that work and then you fail to put the very last step in place. I said, because the one thing that you know for sure, if you don't do follow-up, you're automatically not going to be successful. So the fear of them saying no, how can that be greater than the thought that I'm not going to follow up so I'll have no chance of getting them? The trade-off there makes no sense to me. At least you have some opportunity to sign them up if you get back in touch with them. But people really have a fear of rejection. They have a fear of somebody saying no. And that's critical that you've got to overcome that. But the fortune is truly in the follow-up, so develop the skills to make sure that you're effective at this. And following up is just really truly being in integrity, because most of the time when you talk to people and you take them out or you show or have a meeting with them and you tell them, when should I call you? Because remember, our whole rule here is you never leave a meeting without another meeting booked. So you want to lock in another meeting. So you want to lock in the next time you're going to talk. So if you're telling them I'm going to talk to you on Wednesday and then you don't show up and you don't follow up, you're totally out of integrity. You've in effect lied to that person. And you don't want to be walking this earth out of integrity with people, right? You want to be somebody who's known to do the things they say they're going to do, because that's what establishes respect among people. Be the person that everybody can look at and say, no matter what Mary Jo ever says, you know what? I know she's going to do it. I know she's what I want to be known for. And some of the times when things fall through the cracks are my most embarrassing times in my life. I hate it. So I work off to-do lists. I, print them off. I look at them. I put them in my day timer. I'm a real advocate of making sure I do what I say I'm going to do, because integrity is so crucial. And this whole world is about building relationships. This whole entire business of network marketing is building relationships and being in strength in that, having strength in those relationships. So being in integrity is crucial. And the other aspect of it, not only do you want to make sure you're following up, but you also want to make sure that you're always on time, right? Never be late. And that same principle applies. When you're late, people walk out. I've walked out. I even walked out on the dentist office one time because he had me sitting there for 45 minutes, and I finally went up to the front desk, and I said, I'm done, and I walked out. And they were looking at me, what do you do? Why are your appointment? I said, sorry. I said, he has no respect for me thinking I'm going to sit here for 45 minutes or an hour waiting for him to see me. He has no respect for my time. I have no respect for him. So, it was that exactly what happened to me. And you know how medical professionals love to take advantage of you. Every time, and I don't get involved in the medical system very often because I'm never sick. Thank you, Lord. But the idea is that when you get involved in that and they make you, there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. None. And so they just are totally dishonoring. So don't be dishonoring to people, because you're going to have people like Mary Jo, if you don't show up on time, they feel that you've totally dissed them. So they're not interested in what you have to say. And if you find that you're running a few minutes late for some cockamamie reason, and I say that because you can always plan to be every place early and you'll never have to worry about being late. Always connect with a person, apologize, see if they can, if it's okay if you get there, you're 3 minutes away and you're so sorry that you missed the appointment and you're going to be a little bit late. Just be apologetic, cover yourself, but when you find yourself doing that to every meeting, now you're chronic late. You're dishonoring, you're disrespectful, and people will catch on. The only reason to have an exposure with somebody, whether it's a meeting or a one-on-one or a sharing a DVD, whatever we call it exposure because it doesn't always be a meeting, is every single time you have an exposure, the reason is to have yet another one. It's not to sign them up. And this was a clear, real shift in my thinking as well, because I have a tendency to be impatient. I like to meet with somebody, share with the materials, and call them back up and get them signed up on the phone. That's kind of how I like to operate. And I've been like that all my life in network marketing. But, you know, listening to Eric Worre and reading his book really put me on a new path. I am just so intentional about educating the person until they feel confident and they're at a point where they're ready to close. Okay, so exposure after exposure after exposure. So it's not that you say to people, do you want some more information? Well, never ask that question. That's not what Eric Worre is saying. He's just saying that each exposure leads to another exposure until you get to a point where they're high enough on the scale that you can close them. So if every exposure leads to another exposure, by the time they're ready to close, guess what? They will have learned everything there is about the opportunity, and they'll now make an informed decision. And that's exactly the languaging you use. Great, you need more information. What information would you like? Super. What if I send that out to you today? If I get that in your email, when are you going to have a chance to review that? All right, great. So if I call you back at 5 o'clock, say, tomorrow, is that a good time for us to reconnect? And then you can add language. It says, you know, I'm really excited that you're looking at more information because I want to help support you make an informed decision. Emphasize that even in your language with them. Make an informed decision. So And Eric Worre himself said, you know, I kept going after the sign-up, going after the sign-up. I went after the sign-up, and he said once he stopped doing that, his business took off because he wasn't so singularly focused on the sign-up. He wanted people to make an informed decision. He was there to support them getting the information they needed, all right? If you send the materials and you book a time to follow up, what's next? Well, there can be two responses. Let's say I send some materials out and I say, what are you always doing? Locking in the next encounter, right, or exposure. You're always locking it in. You never give anyone any materials without having a deadline on when they're going to see it and put a time when you're going to be calling them, right? So when can you review that? Great. So it's 5 o'clock good or it's 8 o'clock, whatever the time is, you lock in another time. So when you call them back, there are two actual responses you could potentially get. One is that they haven't reviewed it yet. And when Eric Worre gets that, he says, he loves to say, that's okay, I understand how life gets in the way. When do you think you could do it for sure, for sure? So he's been using the for sure language. I think it's kind of cute. It has a little ring to it. And it kind of cuts through the ice, so it's not as caustic a response, right? For sure, because people will laugh about that. And then they'll give block in the time. And he says it's been working for him for years and he's never going to stop using for sure, for sure. And then you get a new date, a new time. They're going to be, and 90, as Eric says, virtually every single time the people now have done it. So you're just, don't get all over their case and tell them, well, you committed to doing it. What's wrong with you? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. If you want to test the water with some people because you think that they're habitually that operate from that level, after they do it to you once or twice, that would be the end of my relationship because I'm going to chase them with everything I try to get them to do for the next 10 years. And you want to make sure you're finding people who are really dedicated. They need this. They want this. They see it for themselves. You don't want to have people who are lackadaisical about it and really aren't serious to do this business, right? Who do you prefer working with? people who put you off all the time and misrepresent themselves, or people who are conscientious and are always ready and willing to work. So look for that in the person as well. The second thing that people say when you get back to them is if they've if they had the chance to review it, your first question is, what did you like best? We've heard this line 100 times. Highlight it, underline it, learn it. You never say, what do you think? That's the worst possible thing you can ever say, because people tend to go negative today, and they're going to tell you the things, they're going to emphasize the things they didn't like about it. In other words, you want to focus the conversation on positive things. And then after they talk about that for a while, another thing that you might want to say is, and Eric uses this all the time, I've never used it, but I kind of like it. I'm going to start testing the water with it when I meet with people. He says, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being zero interest and 10 being ready to get started, where do you feel you are right now? And then no matter what number, you ask them how they can help, how can I help you get to a higher number? And how can I help you make that decision? Right? You don't have to say higher number, but you can say make a decision, da, da, da. If the number's high enough, so if you get somebody that's like at an 8, then you can say, great, let's talk about getting you started. So you can move right into it and go right into the closing. But if not, you want to schedule another exposure based on what they want to experience. In other words, maybe they want to experience the product. They might want a three-way with your mentor. They might want more information on something specific. Whatever it is, but don't tell them what they want. Ask them what they need to make a better decision, to make a more informed decision. What else would you be looking for to make a better decision? Would you like, and you can throw the suggestion out to speak with your mentor that you've had for 10 years, or you can just say, you know what, I'd love you to talk to somebody who's been incredibly successful in this business. It's a mentor of mine. She's on our team. When's a good time for us to talk to Mary Jo? That's the way I like to ask for three-way calls. I don't ask if they want to do one. I just kind of say, why don't we take that next step? You can actually kind of force it that way, because when you ask somebody when's a good time, they can't say yes or no because it's not a yes or no question. So now you get an appointment set up with a mentor on the phone, and clearly they can answer their question. So just mechanisms to help you bring people to the close. Don't be pushy. You're not out there, you know, being a slick salesman. You're just trying to educate people and help them make an informed decision, right? It's the professional way to handle the relationship. The important thing for us to recognize that it takes an average of 4 to 6 exposures for a person to sign up. And, you know, I've heard that all my life in networking. From the day I started, I remember somebody said 5 touches. And I kept going, I'm not handling 5 touches. I can handle maybe 2 or 3 at max. So there was my impatience again. But I love this approach. It just takes more management. Does everybody understand that? That's why it's important to have a contact management system in place where you can keep tracing the guys. You have a calendar that you're using so you can keep following up with the people and putting in. Because if you're working on 10 people and they each take 5 touches, that's 50 exposures, right? 50. So you're going to have all of that going on in your day timer. So it's important that we have something sophisticated that we can use to trace all those things so we don't let something fall through the cracks. But the important thing is these 4 to 6 exposures are terrific for our business, because what does that help do? It really helps us start building that friendship and long-term relationship with the people, because once they join you, you know what it's like. You get to know them intimately. You get involved with their family stuff. It's a long-term relationship that you get going. So it helps build that foundation for that long-term relationship. So, but the other aspect of it is we still want to keep our urgency, but patience is golden. One of the languaging that I used to use a lot was SWS, WS, W next, some will, some won't, so what next? And he was adamant against that language. He said, be careful of that. It's kind of impersonal. It doesn't consider the long-term relationship that you're trying to build. And I agree with that as well. In fact, I would usually tell people I'd leave out the last SW. Everybody know, some will, some won't, so what? That's what it stands for. I always hated the so what, because there isn't a so what there. I care about people. So I care whether they make a good decision or not. So it's hard for me to say so what, but it doesn't emotionally rob me. It just is a sad thing that people won't get to see it. But I'm not going to say so what, because they stay on my contact list. So I know I'm going to have reconnections with them. So there is a little lack of comfort there, but it's important that people, I think the whole reason Kay Lynch and other people use the SWSWSW is to make sure to take your emotionalism away from a no. Don't get caught up. In fact, the rule in this business is when you get to the point where you have the same emotional response, whether somebody signs up or they don't sign up, you've finally arrived. And that's a great clue for a lot of you. And we can hardly believe that because we remember when we got started and we signed up our first all-star, we were jumping up and down and screaming and having a heyday. Well, hardly are you going to do all that to a no, but the concept is that we stay level-headed. We're not emotionally up and down. Otherwise, you're riding a roller coaster your entire life in this business, and you rather maintain a strong sense of confidence and moving forward every single step of the way and not let anything rob you of your joy, right? Okay, now, what makes the difference between posers, amateurs, and pros? Remember his three categories that he isolates through this book and talks about? We don't want to be a poser, and we don't want to be an amateur. If you're reading this book and you're committed to your business and you're an entrepreneur, then you want to be a professional network marketer. So posers are people that they go out and they meet in person one time and they prospect, they share a little bit, and they move on. They don't even follow up. They don't do anything. We got a lot of posers out there, don't we? Yeah, because they are stuck in their own stuff. Instead of wanting to help people, they're more worried about themselves. Their focus is on self instead of other people. And so posers aren't very effective in this business, are they? Amateurs are people that have several exposures over time. Many of you are probably familiar with this. You have people in your organization, because sometimes I'll talk to people like that. Okay, so who are you working on right now? And they go, well, I'm working on, and they give me five names. I said, well, what's the status? Well, I sent Uncle Elmo a DVD about 2 months ago, and he hasn't gotten back to me. That never, ever, ever happens in my life. But that's an amateur. It's somebody that's afraid. They're not booking appointments after giving people things. They're letting other people control the time scheduling. They're lackadaisical. You know, casualness produces casualties. And you don't want to be a casualty in this business. So quit with the casualness. When you hand somebody some materials or send them a link, you always book the follow-up. And it's never 2 weeks, 2 months, whenever you get the chance to launch this, call me back. That is so much garbage. You've just destroyed your business. So quit destroying your business. Keep on top of it. Get the commitment of a specific time, a specific date. Yes, could somebody be going out of town? Right. But then it's going to take whenever they get back, bingo, first day back, next day back, I'm all over it. If somebody says to you, well, you know, Mary Jo, I've got other things on my platter and I really can't take a look at this for a couple of months, then I say, great, so why don't we do this? Would you like me to just put you on a list where you get like a little bit of update from me once a week or once a month until we get a chance to meet again? How would you like that to look? Isn't that a great way to keep in connection with people? You don't have to make the decision what you're going to do or not do. Ask them what they would like. Because some of them, they, well, you know what, I really don't want to hear from you at all because I'm so bloody busy, I don't want to get confused with this and I have to get this project done, so why don't we just commit to a time we're going to meet after June 1st? Great. So I put it in my calendar, and about 2 weeks before the time, I'll send them a reminder notice. But meet them where they are. Don't try to push them around. If you try to manipulate them here, you'll be manipulating them all the way down the street. So everybody clear on that. The pros condense their exposures. In other words, they could have a video, a three-way call, a live meeting, all in a seven-day period of time, where an amateur spreads that over a month, 2 months, right, instead of staying on top of it. I feel for people. People who are, you know, financially distraught, they have health problems. I don't want to wait another moment. I have a sense of urgency about my business and each person I work with. So I want them in and on the product ASAP. Next, questions and objections, which are great. This is a great category to talk about because we definitely need training on this. We need to help train our people, and Eric does an incredible job in his book to help that. That's another reason I want all my new people to read it so that they understand how to respond to objections. If you come across defensive, the prospect will continue to have doubts. They go, what do you mean about that? Blah, 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 blah. And you start defending yourself. That's not the way to do it, right? If you act offensive and you start attacking the person, you're going to chase them away. So you don't want to take either of those two postures. And really, this is something I've learned over the years, and it didn't take me long to learn it because it just took a few mistakes, and then you get it. But getting training is a lot better, right? what you want to do is focus on the concepts, not tactics. In other words, you want to focus on learning more and educating them more, because I always look, this is how I approach it, every objection is an opportunity to educate somebody. And almost all objections, as Eric says, fall into two categories. There's usually an objection around a prospect's own limiting beliefs in their own abilities, in the money they have available to do this, all those kind of things. It could be for a lot of reasons, but it's their own limitations that they're fearful of, right? And then there's a second concept of the limiting belief in network marketing as a model to produce the results they want in their life. So they might have second thoughts about network marketing and other issues that they bring up around about the network marketing model. So let's cover both of those. Right. One of the things Eric talks about in the book, he talks about the feel, fell, found. Well, I know exactly how you feel. You know, when I first got started in this, I felt the same way you did about network marketing. And as I did more and more research, I found that it's one of the most highly respected business models because it's the most efficient method of distribution of products. I don't know if you ever thought about that, have you? And see what it's feel, fell, found. So it's like feel, fell, found. Take them down a path that helps them understand better. So that's a great technique to use. If you come across somebody with a limiting belief, then he broke it down into two categories, limiting beliefs. Let's say, for instance, they have a limiting belief in their abilities. An example might be that they don't have money. And then, so you might talk about somebody else who had a money issue that was in your organization, right? Or you might talk about yourself. If they just don't have money, you could say, I had the same exact challenge. I didn't have enough money to pay my bills, let alone start a new business. But when I thought about it, I realized if I didn't have enough money to pay my bills now, how was I ever going to change that in the future? I was tired of being behind and always scrambling. I wanted more out of life. So you know what I did? I found a way, and it was the best decision I ever made. Let me ask you something. If you really felt this was a chance for you to take control of your financial future, do you think you could find a way to make it happen? So notice how he tells a story. And it could be, what if you don't have a story? What if that wasn't your story? Well, let me tell you, now you know Eric's story, you could tell Eric's story. You could say, you know what, I just helped another gentleman who just had the same issue. He never had enough money to pay his bills, let alone start a new business. But after he started thinking about it, he said, you know, if I don't now, when am I ever going to make a difference? I've always wanted more out of life. I always believe there's more to be had. So I just asked a simple question. If you really felt this is a chance for you to take control of your financial future, do you think you could find a way to make it happen? Great. No pressure, just a concept. And I just worked with a young lady who's fresh out of college and just started her new job, but she's looking for another stream of income because she's got big goals in her life. And she said, Mary Jo, I just can't make it happen. I can get the money. I'll have the money for the All-Star Pack on March 1st. I said, great. I'm going to feed her right brand new All-Star right in the manifest. You get that? This would be awesome. But the idea is that sometimes when they have a plan, if they're very much in the analyst quadrant and they can figure out when they're going to have the money and all that stuff, I don't have a problem waiting. Am I going to stop dripping on her? Absolutely not. She's going to hear from me. She's going to get excited. I'm going to bring her over to Tuesday. Things that she doesn't have to spend any money on. And I'm already having her, through her upline, build her 100 list, her contact list. So I've already got her in the business without having the All-Star Pack. So you can do that as well. But better to have them making the investment if you can. What if their limiting belief is around network marketing? And he gave a lot of responses in the book, and you can, you know, again, you can get the book yourself. I put a bunch of them down here because I thought they were so good, but a lot of them we've heard before. But this is the importance, people, is to get this so ingrained in your brain that it comes out of your mouth automatically. So what does that mean? It means spending time and energy about memorizing some of these things so you're not fumbling through it when you come across people. So if you're limiting belief around network marketing, wait a minute, you have a story. And this is what I say. I don't really say, wait a minute. When somebody says something about network, oh, is this network marketing? I said, wow, sounds like you have a story or sounds like you have some experience in network marketing. Have you ever done it before? I start asking questions, right? Ask questions. And you say, what do you think? And they go, yeah, I did this and it didn't work. And I say, well, what do you think was the reason it didn't work for you? I always ask that question. Because I'm going to tell you, virtually every single time it comes down to a couple things. Number one, they didn't put the energy and effort into it. They feel like they just didn't give it a fair shot. Or number two, they felt like they didn't have a support system to really help them grow. So either ones we can respond to, right? Every objection is a chance to educate, and our job is to educate. If somebody asked me if it's a pyramid scheme, which this young gal did, I said, wow, not quite. I said, did you ever get those letters in the mail where it said, just send these 10 people $1? That's called a pyramid scheme. No product, and if you happen to be lucky enough that you have 10 more suckers times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10, you could potentially get $1,000 in the mail someday, but you didn't do it with any product that changing hands. I said, and really, do you think I would be involved in a scam? You know, that's another question you can ask them. But there's always somebody out there. And here's another one. This I thought was great, so highlight this in your outline. You know, how many people tell you they don't like to sell? So here's this. Just ask the question. What if I could help show you a way to share the products without it sounding like a sales pitch? Why not? And there's plenty of ways of doing that. Plenty of ways. In fact, all you got to do is get that marketing book, I can't even remember his name, that talks about how you just ask questions at the end. Who is that marketing book, Lydia? I'm trying to remember it. The blue book we have in our... Oh, Lydia can't even think of it. She's sneezing over there. I think there's something in this office that's... anyway, all right. So, Michael Oliver, I just thought of it. Michael Oliver's book. He does a great job of just meeting people where they are and just saying at the end of the conversations, he just says, you know, I think I might have an answer for you. If you're interested, let's get together tomorrow. So it's not a sales pitch. It's just, you know, maybe I can help you with that. You know, I just came across this new discovery and maybe this is something that you'd be interested in. So it's not a sales pitch. It's an educational pitch. Make it an educational pitch, not a sales pitch. That's your conversion. All right. Skill 5, helping your prospects become customers or distributors. This is crucial. Absolutely crucial. This is a closing skill. You absolutely got to be proficient at closing. And interestingly enough, in his 4-question close is nothing I've ever used before. So this was kind of new for me as well. I close people through assumption. I use the assumption close. And you can look up closing techniques on the internet, you're going to find laundry lists of hundreds of them. Find out what's comfortable for you and then run with it. But you need to be a great closer in this business. So educating them to get to the right decision. Our job is then guide them to the decision. And what does that mostly involve? Number one, asking the right questions. And number two, having a great posture. And that's one thing I always have. I always come across in every meeting I have with this great level of confidence. And it's posture wins out. Because when people look at you and they see this incredible level of confidence, they just go, well, I want to be around her. I want to be part of her organization. This is what you're trying to do. Remember, you're selling yourself a lot in this whole thing. You don't sell the product or the business opportunity. They sell themselves through tools. What you're selling is you. So if you come across with no confidence, they're not going to want to be working with you because they're not going to believe it's going to work because they're looking at you being the leader for them. I've even had people in my organization where I go out and do meetings for them and help, and they'll bring on a really sophisticated person, like a top-notch business person comes to one of their meetings. Maybe they knew them at church. And I meet with them afterwards, and they go, well, seriously, Mary Jo, I'm really excited about looking at this, but I have one problem. I go, what? And they start talking to me about the person who invited them to the meeting. And I said, we're a team. You know, I waylay that. I say, hey, none of us are perfect. We all have shortcomings. And I'm working with that person in regard to this because I see her lack of organizational skills or whatever's going on in her life. But you know what? We're all part of a team, and I work with everybody on the team. So never is anyone else going to hold you back to being the best you can be. There won't be any finger-pointing in this, right? Yeah. Always pursue your goal of education and understanding people. Be prepared. Always be prepared. Have your application forms ready, startup materials, whatever's necessary. My startup materials for a new person when I meet with them to try to close them is only one thing, a pen and a pad saying, start your 100 contact list. I don't want to talk to you until you get the 100 names on the sheet of paper. I mean, that's how I do it because I want to have immediate success in everybody's life the minute they get started, right? That's my goal. That's how I operate. Always pursue educating people. Be prepared. Be a great listener instead of talk, 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 talk. We get nervous and we start talking. What's nervous come from? Lack of confidence. So build your confidence up. Be bold. Be persistent. But don't get nervous and don't talk, 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 talk. They don't want to hear from you. They want to think through. Pregnant pauses are terrific in conversations. And here's five lessons he learned from watching the pros. One, professionals are not emotionally attached to the outcome. We already talked about that. Two, they are assumptive in their approach. I thought that was great because that is exactly my closing approach, is assume close. Three, they promote themselves as much as they promote the product or opportunity. What did I tell you you're doing? You're selling yourself. Be professional. Your dress is important. Your hair is important. Your languaging is important. Your listening skills are important. All those things are important. Be prepared. Come across professional, right? You're selling yourself. Always prepared is number four, and they ask question after question after question. They're great listeners. So those are the five things as you watch the pros. The four-question close he talked about was he has four questions. Based on what you've seen, if you're going to get started with, and you could do this, somebody's an eight. Remember when you asked on a scale of zero being no interest, 10 being ready to start, where do you find yourself? If they say eight or above or seven or above, you can even do seven, then you can go into the four-question close. Based on what you've seen, and if you're going to get started with this company on a part-time basis, approximately how much would you need to earn per month in order to make this worth your time? So they now are telling you what they want to make per month to make it worth their time. Approximately how many hours would you commit to develop that kind of money? Find that out. How many months would you work those kind of hours? And then the fourth question is just an aggregation of the other answers. If I could show you how to develop an income of whatever you suggested as an answer to number one, per month working, whatever you gave as answer number two, how many hours a week you're willing to give, over the course of whatever you answered number three, would you be ready to get started? Yep, got it? It's kind of cool. So you can work through that as well. Skill number six, we got two to go. Oh, no, skill six. We got two skills and two closing chapters. So I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to be fast because I can't be late today since I have an 11 o'clock meeting. Skill six is helping your new distributor get started right. This is critical, absolutely dead on, absolutely superb. What he's developed, I'm already implementing, so I want to tell you about it. Professionals, don't just let your new distributors figure it out. I would always start people with 100 people on their contact list before I even get started with them. And then I get them on board. We have kind of a getting started checklist that we use and some videos to watch and things like that. Some of it's administrative. Some of it's a learning process, you know, finding their why, those kind of things, and setting goals. All of that's involved in our getting started package. So we have a way to get people started, but I'm less concerned about the checklist. I give it to them only so that I can work on it with them over time. I'm more concerned with getting them in connection with their 100 people on their list. That's what I really want. So what he does is he says, set up proper expectations, help them achieve great results, quick results, then continue to guide their new distributors to the many phases of our profession. I love that statement. It's absolutely it's perfect, and keep that in mind when you bring on new people. The game plan interview I thought was terrific, and I'm going to do it with every one of my people. In fact, I planned one for today. Isn't that awesome? I have a game plan interview today. Validate them making a great decision, proud of them taking control. Help them have realistic expectations. What's critical there is making sure they understand you are not the one that's going to create success for them. It's going to come from them. And make them also understand that your job is to make them independent from you as soon as possible. You also want to talk about there's going to be ups and downs to the business. So everybody goes through it. So when they exit and they're not on phone calls anymore and they're not calling you, how do you want me to handle it? Do you want me to call you or do you want me to leave you alone? Do you follow me? Let them know right up front that that's going to happen. Go through the getting started checklist, which is what I talked about. Everybody needs one. If you don't have one, Manatech, I believe, has one on that website. If not, talk to your upline. Everyone has one. Okay. And establishing their personal game plan. What is your game plan? That's going to be dependent on the commitment level that they make, right? So you want to make sure that they're, when are they going to have their first customer, first distributor, first company event, all those things part of their game plan. And he doesn't usually go through your 1 year, 2 year, 5 year plan. He just wants to have the first 6 months be terrific. Helping your new person get off to a quick start is vital. Highlight that as well. And then give some specific assignments, right? New distributors crave assignments. So what do? Read GoPro. That's one of my first assignments. Make the list of 100 people, right? Yeah. Get on a conference call with me to do the checklist. Go over the checklist. And then make commitments on when you're going to get the checklist finished, complete. Skill seven, promoting events. Manifest. Do we get this? Absolutely critical. People who go grow, we've heard that 1,000 times. There's something magical about getting away from your day-to-day grind and focusing completely on your dreams. That's quote right out of the book, and I totally agree. When you get away from your day-in and day-out grind, you get to be at a convention with a lot of like-minded people. It's a blast. It turns you on. It gives you a new high. And you know what? It's like an adrenaline rush. You want more of that in your life. And that's what you want to create for people. You want people to have that joy. And that's what we have in Manatech. I love conventions. I love Manifest. I go to all the leadership events. I don't miss any event. Why? Because I'm a leader. I'm a leader of people. And I love new education. I also love to be a part of it. If Manatech wants me on stage, I'm all in. I love training. I love teaching. I love inspiring people. I think it's awesome. I also love to see new people getting on stage for the first time. Recognition is awesome. Those new regional directors are awesome. Their nationals are awesome. They're all incredible people that have put time and energy around to grow this business, and it's great to recognize them. The other reason I want my brand new people there is I want them to see people on stage and say, I'm going to be there next event, right? Because that's what you do. It happens all the time. How many times have you heard presidentials go, I remember my first manifest, and I sat there looking at that guy, and he said, walking across the stage is presidential, and they go, I'm going to get there. I mean, brand new associate saying, I'm going to get there. So it gives you a sense of community, and the other thing you do is you get to mingle with other great leaders all around the world, or country at least. If we have regional ones or in North America, I believe Manifest this year is North America only, but it gives you a chance to hobnob with all these presidentials that you don't get to interact with. So it's a great, great opportunity. And forget the cost. The price you pay for missing it is a price you don't ever want to pay. And you want to become an incredible promoter of events in your own organization, encouraging people, not just encouraging, but absolutely become a major promoter. Eric Worre kind of had a formula. He said in one of the other things I was exposed to with Eric, he said, if you whatever number of people you have showing up at events, you multiply that by $1,000, and that's what you can expect to make on an annual basis. He says it's kind of standard in the industry. I've never heard it before, and obviously it's different if you're brand new. You know, that's not going to necessarily be true, but it is true across the board for most of us have been around a long time. How many people we have at events kind of is where we are with our income. So you want to attract as many people as you can, promote it highly, and right now I'm telling you guys, you got Manifest around the corner. It's like a month away, so get out there and promote it like the Dickens. It's one of your top skills in network marketing. There are two other final chapters in the book, and they just kind of conclude some issues for all of us. One is anything worthwhile takes time, and that's just a reality check to understand. A lot of people get involved in an entrepreneurial business, and you know what? They never expect to make a ton of money. They hope to break even after their first year. So why in network marketing do people come in? I had a guy, I think I shared with you guys a few months back. It was a lead somebody gave me, and he goes, how do I make $10,000 in the first month? And you know what my response was? You've got the wrong company. He's also a guy who's been in 28 different network marketing companies. So do you think he's right for Manatech? He'd have to make a big shift in his thought process to do that, Wendy. He'd have to swallow some of his pride to do that. But I just didn't think there was not really a good match for us in that. So people should have an expectation that when you get into your first year, you want to make some money. That's great. And people can accrue that. I mean, I remember my first year, I was making $4,000 a month. And by the end of the first year, but that's a little extraordinary. That's not an ordinary response. We usually get people to, you know, regional in 1 to 3 months. I pick one. I want my people getting to regional director in their first 30 days. That's kind of my drive right now. I like to see them at national director within 3 months. And then I like to see them executive director by the end of their first year. So that would put them at between, you know, $1,800 and $4,000 on a monthly basis at the end of the first year. That to me is more reasonable than expect to get the presidential in the first month or 6 months or whatever. So we try to take on a reasonable approach to our business and not have an expectation they have to make this much money. And at a regional level, you're not even probably, you know, covering the cost of doing the business yet, because you're only making $100 to $150 a month. But you could be covering the cost by those power bonuses. The active income is what gives you a lot. He also talked about the 1-3-5-7 formula, and you can read that. 1 year to become proficient in network marketing, that means you're putting a dedication into learning and education, and you get this GoPro book down pat, so you have languaging and you know step-by-step how to bring along a new business builder, all of that. You want to be proficient. It takes a year to do that with a dedicated constant training and educational program for yourself. 3 years and you go full time. In other words, that's where we step out of the E quadrant and get into the B quadrant. We quit being tying our net worth and our wealth to limited assets such as time. We get out of that whole rat race. We get off the hamster wheel and we jump into business. And we are running our own business full time, and what a blessing. And then 5 years of consistent behavior, you're going to have six-figure income. Some of us were shorter than that, but he's just giving this as an, you know, kind of across the board. 7 years and you'll become an expert. So look at your lifestyle that way and start going, whoa, well, I might have already been in Manifect 10 years. Well, I'm going to suggest maybe you never started the first year of being proficient in network marketing. Have you been a poser and an amateur for the 10 years you've been involved? If so, go back and start over and say, wow, new day, I'm a professional. I'm going to become proficient in all the skills. Be an active grower, model success, study constantly, and be careful of distractions. We got plenty of them. And I love the law of association. You've heard it a million times, that you'll become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You'll make this average amount of their amount of income. You'll think how they think, act how they think, talk how they talk. So look at who you surround yourself with. As John Kalin says, if you hang out with the turkeys, you're going to be a turkey. You want to hang out with the eagles and fly and soar to endless heights, right? Last chapter, it's all worth it. The career you will create, the freedom you'll enjoy, the lives you will touch, the people you will meet, the places you will see, the causes you'll contribute to, the person you'll become in the process. I read that chapter and I put this quote from me to all of you based on what I read in that last chapter. My life has been transformed by my Manatech experience. I choose all in and live this dream every day of my life. Today, my desire is to make it possible for everyone who joins our company and chooses to go pro that they too experience their dreams plus more. So thanks, people. Great book. Any last-minute questions before I head out to my meeting? I think I have a couple minutes. Everybody good? Is this good? Learn something? How many of you are going to adopt this book as your Bible for your network marketing business? Anyone?
Mary Jo, this is Peggy from Porcupine calling.
Peggy from Porcupine. How are you, Dal?
Cold.
I heard. I got your message. I'm in my winter coat, and I was freaking out because of it. So did you enjoy this? Is this not an awesome book?
The wind chill is minus 52.8 for those who are wondering.
I feel so badly for you now. Move south, Peg. All right, sweet. All right, Dal. Anything else? Any contributions? Because I'm getting called into the legal meeting. All right, everybody.